John Lewis wrote, "It seemed like things might fly apart in the 1960s, at the height of the civil rights movement, when America itself felt as if it might burst at the seams. So much tension, so many storms. But the people of conscience never left the house. They stayed. They never ran away. And they came together. They did the best they could, clasping hands and moving toward the corner of the house that was the weakest. And then another corner would lift and we would go there. And eventually, inevitably, the storm would settle and the house would still stand. But we knew another storm would come and we would have to do it all over again." So I'd like to continue Reverend Dr. Chulak's theme from last Sunday, as it feels like our country has begun again to fly apart. So much tension, so many storms. Every day we learn of another corner of the house that is our nation, lifting off the ground, out of control. How we will come together to keep the house together while the storm rages, that's an open question. What we can be certain of is, first, that we've been through many storms. Sometimes it feels like this is the first or the worst it's ever been. No, we've been through many, and most of them have been caused by humans, not a natural cause. Second thing that we can be certain of is that another crisis will come after this one. And we'll have to respond to it, not individually, but in community. There are many, many possible responses. Of course, there must be many ways of healing such complex divisions. But one of those many that I want to focus on this morning is not an action, but a spiritual practice of gratitude. This may be counterintuitive. Response to crisis is illustrated in a story told by Reverend Meg Barnhouse. Maybe you are familiar with her songs. She's a singer-songwriter, or some of her writing. She's written several collections of meditations. She's also a therapist. This story, she tells, is about when she was driving in the mountains of North Carolina. "I came up fast behind a slow flatbed pickup truck. In the back of the truck was a man holding a goat. The goat was standing stiff-legged, and the man was talking to it. The goat was trying to look over the side of the truck bed, but the scenery whizzing past was no comfort. The man, who had warm brown skin and the clothes of a farmer, kept talking in its ear. Slowly, the goat folded its legs and sat down in the man's lap, lifting its head into the breeze, eyes closed, it finally relaxed." Barnhouse reflects, "I recognize that situation. I have been a goat in the back of a pickup truck, heaving itself around mountainous curves, out of place, out of my element, deeply confused, with no helpful experience to help me deal with my predicament. Sometimes there is someone whispering in my ear, 'Just stay calm. Sit down. Give up. Everything's going to be all right.'" In such situations, the first thing I want to do is keep my feet. I want to stay up, ready to spring into action at a moment's notice. I want to see over the side, even though that only makes things worse. I can't figure out if I'm on my way to a better place with deeper grass and better company, or whether I'm being transported to the slaughterhouse. The whole time, the voice is saying, "Just sit for a while and relax. Surrender to events. Don't try to intervene at this time. Detach yourself from outcomes. I don't know whether the voice is from the spirit of life or the goat meat factory. Eventually, I figure out that there's nothing to be done at this point. My fear isn't helping. My feet can't help. My alertness is working against me. I need to let go until such time as action is possible. So has anyone else ever experienced a goat in the pickup truck moment? Okay, yeah. I know I've been that goat for sure, and sometimes it takes me a long time to listen to that voice, internal or external, and relax. In fact, I might just lock my legs and fall over from exhaustion before I finally let go. Whenever we are in moments of transition that we did not foresee, or if we did, we thought they would go a lot differently, there is the possibility of a goat in the pickup moment. And in learning to relax, to trust the voice, internal or external, we find the possibility of gratitude. Faith communities go through goat in the pickup moments too. You could say the COVID shutdown was an example on a global level of a goat in the pickup truck moment. At the congregational level, I remember very well feeling challenged to listen for and trust the voices that told us to sit for a while and relax and detach ourselves from outcomes. It was very difficult to do that because we were in a stage of panic. But gratitude for those voices that helped us through built confidence, and still does, to offer our own voices of calm and comfort in return. As you heard in the introduction, I'm fairly new to the UU congregations and clergy in this region, having served the Carbondale Unitarian Fellowship in Southern Illinois for the past 11 years. But I was told a bit about the unusually difficult trials and travails that you all at the UU congregation of Saratoga Springs have gone through over this past year. I imagine there is both frustration and hope, anger and anticipation, and a bit of what could possibly happen next attitude. And that's totally understandable. There may be, can be, other responses which have brought you together, bring you together in acceptance and gratitude, as well as confusion and fear of this unexpected stormy time. In the recent experience of UU Congregation of Saratoga Springs, you all are the goat, and you all are the voices of reassurance. I invite you now into just a brief moment of meditation as we consider the calm deliberation of the goat whisperer to embrace this trying time of uncertainty and building connection as you listen to these words of Irish poet and author John O'Donohue. When near the end of day, life has drained out of light, and it is too soon for the mind of night to have darkened things. No place looks like itself. Loss of outline makes everything look strangely in between, unsure of what has been or what might come. In this wan light, even trees seem groundless. In a while, it will be night, but nothing here seems to believe the relief of dark. Dusk, the time between day and night, when the light is strange and outlines blurred, this is the poetic setting for the unsettled period, the time from which we emerge. It's hard to be present and appreciate the liminal, the in-between time. It's natural for us to want to speed up that time of uncertainty, that time of being neither here nor there, and move right into the relief of the dark, and then the new dawn. But the poet counsels us to be patient. O'Donohue writes, "The more faithfully you can endure here, the more refined your heart will become." I invite you to bring to mind now that kind of interim, unsettled time, a time that you remember how difficult and slow it felt to be neither here nor there. Maybe it was a period between jobs, or a time after graduating, or after retirement, after a divorce, after a death, when, as O'Donohue describes, everyone else has lost sight of your heart and you can see nowhere to put your trust. You know you have to make your own way through. Maybe you're feeling, collectively, feeling that way too now. Now that you're in a liminal time in congregational life, here's the thing. We're almost always in a time of in-betweenness in at least some aspect of our lives. Always in transition if we can slow down and see it. For a mundane example, in this moment now of seeming stability, we are in between meals. Some part of your mind may be occupied and wondering or worrying about when, what, and with whom you will next eat. Another example, you may be stable in your relationship with your life partner, but in a stormy transition in your relationship with your child. When you start to think about it, you can see that every relationship is in a state of transition, varying speeds cycling between interim, unsettled, and emergence, settled. And within these transitions is the opportunity for growth and gratitude, as O'Donohue described in his poem. Each one of you is in such a relationship with this faith community. We pass through periods of confusion and uncertainty to understanding and growth and back again. Thanksgiving season is a time in which we are asked to slow down and think about what we have received and what we have given and how that relationship will continue in the future. This reminds me of something I recently read about. Anyone here speak Japanese? Well, I learned that in Japanese, there's no equivalent of thank you. The receiver of a gift says sumimasen, which means this is not the end. I love that. Being a faith community means that you're in an ongoing relationship of gratitude with each other and with your congregation. You are always in the midst of giving and receiving. This is not the end. The period between Thanksgiving and the New Year is an annual opportunity to be mindful of the layers of relationship you have within this faith community, to gain a deeper understanding of all the ways that together you build the common good. It is a time to meditate and practice gratitude. From her cross-cultural research on gift-giving, Margaret Visser observes, gratitude is like an emotional and willing hand clasp in friendship. Truth is a mighty part of gratitude, and so is justice. Even they are not enough, however. There remains the willingness to see and understand, and the freely taken step of accepting one's own commitment for the future. So your goal for this stormy time might be mindful, patient discernment leading to that freely taken step of accepting your own commitments for the future of this congregation. But the people of conscience never left the house. They never ran away. They stayed, they came together, and they did the best they could, clasping hands and moving toward the corner of the house that was the weakest. Friends, you all may have not left this congregation. You never ran away. You stayed, you came together, and are doing the best you can, clasping hands and moving to where you are needed, both within this congregation and in your wider community. May you engage in this unsettled time as an opportunity for deepening your relationships of gratitude in this faith community. When you feel like that goat in the pickup truck, may you listen for the voices of assurance and then be the voices of assurance for others. May you relax and enjoy the ride, as bumpy as it is, as a community, depending on each other, entering the new dawn together. Amen.